Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Trundlebed Tales. And tonight's episode is our annual roundup of what was going on in Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom during the year. Now, this is the fifth year that I have done this program. In fact, this was the subject of my very first podcast back in 2010. And really, I find it to be a useful thing and I hope interesting thing. So I hope you'll enjoy it tonight. Before we get going, though, let's just take a quick moment and do a little housekeeping. Okay, and our housekeeping today is to remind everybody that you can call in during the show with comments or questions. The number is toll-free 1-877-633-9389. That's toll-free 1-877-633-9389. You can also call in with the direct number, which is 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253. Now, those numbers are only active while the show is on the air, but if you are ever out and about when the episode is on and you want to listen, or if you have a question or comment, you can sure use those numbers for either way. You can use them both for contacting me and to just listen when you're not near a computer. Once the episode has gone to archive, then it is easy to listen. You can either find it going through my blog, or you can go in through www.blogtalkradio.com/trundlebedtales. You can also find it for download on iTunes. And if you are an iTunes user, I would ask that you subscribe. And we're always glad to get comments on there because that helps it show up in people's searches. And if you are just stumbling over this podcast, I would like to let you know that you can also find me under Trundlebed Tales on Facebook and on Twitter. I have accounts on Instagram and Flickr and videos on YouTube and Vimeo. I've been mostly moving to Vimeo lately, but you can find me all those places. And I'm even on LinkedIn and academia.edu and some of those other ones. So be sure to reach out to me beyond the podcast. And I think that does it for right now. And that is it for our housekeeping. That was sweeping with a broom, if you couldn't tell. And that moves us into the subject of tonight's podcast. And the first thing is my New Year's resolution. Because I seem to have trouble, as the year goes on, to keep my normal schedule of podcasts. And I actually have been quite falling down on that lately. I have, I haven't done an interview in quite a while, but I do have some people lined up. So hopefully in the new year, we will get back to a more regular schedule of episodes. The first one would be the update for the month, and that one's going to be a longer than normal. Normally, they're 15 minutes max, those introductions to the month, but this time it's going to be a half hour because we're going to be looking ahead for what's going to happen in Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom in 2016. And that episode is going to be January 7th. That's next Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time. And if you have your own predictions or news you want to share, feel free to call in at those same numbers. Oh, and I forgot to say, we do have a chat room. If you're listening live, you can also get in there and chat. Okay. So, heading on to what is going on this year. And I have a lot of notes, so we'll see how it goes. This was probably best thought of as the Year of Pioneer Girl. It came out last summer in 2014. It was supposed to come out in the summer. It actually didn't come out till right before Christmas. And it was the hot seller, mostly for two reasons, I think. It was a big press run for basically a university press, but it was a small press run for anything else. And then they got just an incredible blow up of publicity, and all of the publicity was very salacious. And if there's anything Americans like, it's finding out our heroes have feet of clay. And this way, it's the real behind-the-scenes story, which people love. That really isn't what Pioneer Girl is, but kudos to them for marketing that way, because it's certainly boosted its sales. It has remained strong on the New York Times bestseller list, and there are still articles coming out about how Pioneer Girl is remaining a strong seller. In addition to that, Pamela Smith Hill, who served as the editor of the published version, was all over the place. She spoke at Borapalooza this summer. She was the special guest at the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library for their Laura Ingalls Wilder Remembered event on Labor Day. She was recorded at that, and the speech went out on CNN. She did her second MOOC, which is Massive Online Something Classroom. Maybe it's open. Massive Open Online Class. That might be it. But anyway, it's basically an online class that's free. And that was through Missouri University. And I can't remember its exact name right now, which I should have looked up, but I didn't. So anyway, they had this massive class. They did one part of it in 2014 and the second one in 2015. The numbers for registration were very high. The numbers for completion were very low, but that's pretty typical for a MOOC. And if you missed it, part one anyway, the speech parts were all uploaded to YouTube, and there's a post on the Trundlebed Tales that you can find that links you to every one of those posts in order, which is not really easy to do from their YouTube site. At least I didn't think it was. So you may want to go through the podcast to find them. And even if you're not overly interested in the talks, they're well worth looking for, because several of them are done from inside Rocky Ridge. And as they don't normally let you photograph things inside Rocky Ridge, to be able to see it on video from angles they don't normally photograph is incredible. I highly recommend looking at those podcasts. There were also a really big push in books this year. There was Nancy Cleveland came out with Laura Ingalls Wilder and Education in Kingsbury County, Dakota Territory, 1880 to 1885. Nancy's been researching that for a very long time. Some of you will probably remember her wonderful website, Pioneer Girl, which is currently not open, but you can find out about the school stuff anyway by getting a copy of this book through the Laura Ingalls Wilder Memorial Society in DeSmet. Yancey also this summer did a series of cemetery tours. She did them pretty much all the pageant weekends. Wasn't sure how good a response she was getting, going to get. They went long, and Bill Anderson told me how much he enjoyed the one he went on. I unfortunately didn't get to take the tour because I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off the one day I was there that they offered it, trying to keep the DeSmet activities for Lollapalooza going. But I really hope she does it again next year so I get a chance to go. No firm word on that either way. There also was a lot of republishing this year. The Musical Memories of Laura Ingalls Wilder came out. There's a review of that on Trundlebed Tales. And it basically, to sum up, the book had some actual substantial changes to it, but you don't get any more or new or corrected information. Read the review is the easiest way to see it. I would say if you have a copy of the original version and have it came with an audio cassette and want the CD instead, which is very good, I highly recommend the CD. Go ahead and get a new copy if you want to. If you never got a copy, great addition for your collection. They also started reprinting a lot of the Laura books that came out in the 1990s when there was a big push to try and change Laura into the American girls, which were making a killing in publishing at the time. And there have been several of those books reissued. World of the Little House is probably the most complete of those. And they're basically available in print again. Check with the home sites if you weren't around then or hadn't collected then or missed out, because they are fun things to get. Okay. Looking down my notes, that gets us to July, when the third Lollapalooza conference was. This is the conference that's held by the Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy and Research Association. I was president of that for the last couple years, and I was one of the co-chairs of this conference. And people seem to think it went really well. As I mentioned, we had Pamela Snell Hill, we had William Anderson, we had John Miller, we had a bunch of people who've done specific research things. There's information about that still on the Beyond Little House page, which is the website for the organization. So if you're interested, check that out. There is also a Facebook page for Beyond Little House and a group for the conference. So if you want to know everything that's coming up, you want to probably join that Facebook group and also make sure that you keep your membership current. I am off the board, so if you have any questions, you want to contact them directly, not me, because I'm basically not involved anymore. Also at Lollapalooza, they gave out the Laura Ingalls Wilder Legacy Award, which is something that I was most proud of being involved when getting started. And we had previously, well, the first year we gave it to Bill Anderson, because of course you give it to Bill Anderson, but we can't have the same every year. So last year we had Barbara Walker of the Little House Cookbook and Shirley Knockmoose, who was the driving force in Walnut Grove for Laura stuff for years, decades. And this year we had John Miller, who wrote the wonderful Becoming Laura Ingalls Wilder, which I always say is the best Laura biography with footnotes, as opposed to the one with that best one without footnotes, which is Billy Anderson's, of course. And Sally House, who was with her husband Larry, the big moving force behind the Laura Ingalls Wilder Association in Malone/Burke, they kind of argue which one is the actual town that the farm is in. The Amelza Wilder farm out in New York. So, and they as a couple were one of the major forces behind it. And if you read the signs when you visit there, you will see their name on every memorial plaque because of their work. So we were very pleased to be able to honor them. Speaking of Malone, also around that time, the Almanza Wilder Farm became an American Library Association literary landmark. Now, what that means is an organization has agreed to sponsor a physical place that was considered to have importance to the development of an author. And if you want to read a little bit more about it, you can find it on the ALA's website. You can also read about it in my post on Wilson Rawls, because that's actually where I first ran into this thing. But I'm very glad to hear that the Almanza Wilder Farm got it. Hopefully, we'll see if we can get the other home sites on board too. And they had a lovely ceremony and unveiled a brass plaque. So be sure to look for that if you visit Malone. Also in that June-July time frame, Old World Wisconsin continued their World of Laura event. You can get a past podcast episode where I interviewed someone from Old World Wisconsin about that. They started with a single day. That's what it was when I visited there, and I really hope I can get back. Then it went to a month, and now it's to 6 weeks because it's been so popular. I have heard good things about this. You will have different events going on depending on when you go, but I think anytime you will have fun. And one of the unique things about it is normally historic museums and living history places, and since I was just there, Disney don't allow adults to dress up in costume. They don't want to confuse visitors. They don't want people maybe giving out bad information while people assume they're a member of the site. They don't want people showing up in bad or wrong clothes. So, Old World Wisconsin for this World of Little House event is very unique in that they encourage adults to dress up, to wear their Laura dresses and come and visit, and you get a discount off the admission if you do. If you do plan a trip to Old World Wisconsin, when I was there, which it's longer than 10 years now, but I stayed at the Eagle Stagecoach stop in Eagle, Wisconsin, which is a really lovely bed and breakfast, no elevator, 3 stories, just warning you. But at least if it has lived up to the standard, I would recommend staying there. I will definitely stay there if I ever go back, which hopefully I will. This year, the DeSmet pageant was by the shores of Silver Lake. It was a little shorter than they normally are, but it was an interesting adaption. And they will be doing the long winter, I think it's right. Yeah, it should be the long winter in 2016. The DeSmet pageant has decided where they used to write a pageant, keep it going for a couple of years, and then switch to the next one in the series. They are now going to be doing a different pageant every year. They also tear up the script and start from scratch every time they do a new pageant. What the production of Silver Lake you saw this summer would be nothing like the production of Silver Lake that you would have seen the last time they did it. So it's always something new each year in DeSmet. So if you possibly can, try and get there for the new program. And I definitely will be doing that this year. Moving on to August. This was the second year that Vinton hosted a Mary Ingalls pageant, and I really strongly recommend, if you can, getting to Vinton. I've been helping them out with their Facebook page and very occasionally making it to the meetings. I sadly need to get there a little bit more often. But it's a very nice pageant, and I can say that fairly objectively because I didn't have anything to do with the script or the casting or the rehearsals or anything like that. And I really, really liked the middle section where they talk about life at the board at the School for the Blind, and that came off of memories and notes about teaching instruction and the different teachers' philosophies at the school at the time. And it's just, it really is such a window into what happened to Mary off screen. And also I like the end part, which they based heavily on Grandpa's Fiddle that Rose wrote, but it's just really a lovely end point. And the beginning part's interesting because you're seeing stories you're used to seeing from Laura's point of view, from Mary's point of view. And I have gotten, since I've been working with the Mary Association, I have gotten much more into Mary's viewpoint, and we need more of it. Mary lived all these places too, and I think it is important to point that out. The other big thing at Vinton is there was a section of graves for students, and they were unmarked. And that's been their big project this fall, is to raise money to get a marker on those students that died while attending the school. And they have met their goal. And watch the Trundlebed Tales blog, because I've got a post on that coming up relatively soon. And so you will enjoy looking at that. During September was, of course, when another big batch of Laura Days hit. I was at the one in Pepin, and Bill Anderson was there with me. We did a program on the stage, and Bill was everywhere signing books and giving talks and being an incredibly good sport. He even was the Grand Marshal of the parade, so I really enjoyed that. There was a big changeover with several of the home sites. Her job as part-time curator there at the Walnut Grove Museum, and has now gone to the Renville County Historical Society as director. And I know she is sorely missed, both on social media, where she was very active on behalf of the museum, and just in general, her position has been replaced. And I don't have the guy who got its name here, but it has been filled, and hopefully he will take up being a little bit more active in the role. At Independence, the director, Michelle Martin, who I think a lot of you know, she was responsible for bringing a lot of living history to the site. She left and is now going to be working on her PhD at not in Kansas school. And she was replaced by Jean. Yeah, I'm probably going to mispronounce this. I am sorry. People mispronounce Utah all the time, so don't take it personally. Shodorf, who is a member of the family that owns the site and was previously a state representative, state senator. Anyway, she was an elected official. And that is, so hopefully we'll see exciting things come out of that. Finally, in DeSmet, late this summer, Cheryl Palmland resigned her position as director. She's still working part-time with the museum, and she was placed by Tessa Flack, who has a little bit more of a museum background, and hopefully I will be getting her as one of my interviewees on the podcast in the relatively near future. There's some questions about Tessa and what she's doing. And then the other big news in Laura fandom this year was that the family, Tripp and Rebecca Friendly, who are the kids of Ed Friendly, who was one of the major forces in getting the Little House on the Prairie TV show started and going on NBC, have moved into really showing an interest in promoting Laura Things. Now, we last heard from them in 2011 when they settled their lawsuit with the Little House on the Prairie Museum in Independence, but now they are really going full force. Their website is littlehouseintheprairie.com. It's really sort of a Laura Ingalls Wilder lifestyle. There's things about sewing and crafting and cooking and all quilting and just all sorts of different things. If you haven't checked it out, be sure to do that. They have the rights, apparently, for the TV show, for historic photos, for quotes from the series. So there is lots of that kind of stuff mixed in, which isn't quite as normal on other websites because those rights are expensive, but they have them there, which is good to see. I have posted 3 pieces on it, but there's all sorts of other people, Linda Halpin, who I've interviewed before, who is the big Laura quilt person and a quilt historian in general. They've had a piece by Pamela Hill Smith, a piece by Melanie Fishbane, who I love, who's a friend of mine online, who's doing a lot of stuff with L.M. Montgomery of Anna Green Gables, too. They on the website, you can get major titles of books that you would get on the home site. They are also the distributor for the Dean Butler documentaries, and both of the Amantha Wilder one and the Laura's Legacy DVD. So if you have not gotten one of those yet, they were out of commission for a while, but now they are back, so you can get copies. They also have made a license deal with Andover Fabrics, so you can get officially licensed material, and Linda Halpin has been doing some great sewing examples on that. You can get them through quilt stores, and I think you can also get it directly from them. And also, they have a deal with Queen's Treasures Doll Accessories. Now, these are accessories for dolls that are the American Girl size. So you just know what size. It isn't officially for American Girl, but there are lots of American Girl-like dolls. In fact, my niece has one of those. And these accessories are pioneer things. And the most impressive one is a horse or a team of horses and a wagon. So if your Laura doll absolutely needs a team of horses and a wagon, and frankly, whose doesn't? You can get those through the Queen's Treasures. And, oh, one last thing I see here. I had a note about Mansfield, and this was the second year that they had a fiddle off there, and it's going to be a continuing event at Wilder Days down there in Mansfield. So that was about all the time I had. So it worked out real well. I hope everybody enjoyed looking back at 2015 with me. And remember, on Thursday, January 7th at 8, we are going to be looking ahead to Laura Ingalls Wilder fandom in 2016. If anybody has any comments they want to make about that, go ahead. And you can contact me on email, info@trundlebedtales. You can get me on Facebook or Twitter @trundlebedtales and let me know what you think I should include. Also, I always host a birthday party on air for Laura Ingalls Wilder, and it is and I always do it on Laura's birthday. And it is going to be on Sunday, February 7th. Since it is a Sunday this year, we'll probably be doing sometime in the afternoon. I don't have it officially scheduled yet, but make sure you mark that on your calendar to tune in for that. And with that, thank you for joining me for Trundle Bed Tales, and join me next time. And remember, brighten the corner where you are. Thank you.